Yeah, don't get us wrong. There's still going to be plenty of randomness to the show.
Of course.
But,
that's the name of the show. The other name is Off Topic.
But this is football.
What you want, we got that mob of optimism, but it makes your rage glisten. Our voice is about the games. And you know, we talk about the latest stories, more so than any other, and our mountain west matters. Where will you? You listen to the podcast too. And you rant about the podcast too. Just a start where Jeremy analyzes the matches and kiss us in the bridges. We do some good interviews. And you know, from Fresno all the way to Boise, from Logan down to Ashley, they're calling out our name. Where will you? You listen to the podcast too. And you love this podcast too.
We hope you do. We're back after a week off talking to Mexico football today, which will be very exciting with the Lobos. And Chris, yes, we are starting the show, if you didn't realize, as our message just implies.
Yeah, that's not fair. I call in, you're like, oh, here's the link to the show. Don't give me like a 10-minute heads-up notice or anything like that. The last time I called in, oh, your show hasn't been set up yet. Probably in 15 minutes.
Unfortunately, when we just go live and choose to go live, we can't. They gave me 90 seconds to call in. They don't even give me a buffer to, okay, you can start your show in a few minutes. No, you have to start the show now, so I apologize for that. But this is the show, MWCConnection.com. Talking, of course, Mountain West Football, Twitter, MWC Connection. We're still striving toward 2,000 likes on Facebook, Mountain West Connection, naturally. So, we're here. We'll get there. We're currently at, we're almost at 1,600. Had quite a few this past week or so, so that's always good to see. And, yeah, we're here. Lobo Football. As I realized, do you know what's going on in New Mexico sports tonight?
There's some sort of all-star game, correct?
Correct. There is an all-star game of former Lobos, so I'm assuming most people will be listening to that game on the local radio or at the game. I know our guy Ron's down there doing a ton of great stuff, interviews. I think he's live-tweeting at the moment. I barely got back into town, but that's a pretty cool event to do. If you're able to get these current NBA players back to your town for an all-star game, I think it's for, was it Cameron Barstow, some, I believe, a charity of some sort he's holding or a part of. Pretty cool idea, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
It'd be nice if you get some guys at UNLV. That'd be pretty sweet if that could ever happen, because there's quite a few former players that are pretty good down there.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't talk basketball. We're talking football. We're going football. So, Mexico Lobos, did you happen to read the guys over at the student section emailed me and a few other guys about, hey, what's your surprise team and things? And did you happen to take a peek at that at all?
No, I have not.
No, that's perfectly fine. There's like four. I think
but
there's a series
for
of
me,
four.
New Mexico being, but for me, New Mexico being successful is not going to be a surprise, and we'll kind of go into why.
I can see that. You and me, I think, have liked New Mexico for a couple of years. We can kind of see them improving. I wrote about New Mexico because most everybody else put on there Colorado State as a team to watch. New coach, new guys, new quarterback, new running back. Our good friend David Fricker put his Aztecs on there. He's a homer, that's fine. He could pick his home team, but he went with the Aztecs. But I think it's the Lobos. I get your point. You're with me that they're not a surprise team. But I think outside of our area, if you're sitting there at Maryland or Ohio or Florida or Texas and you see New Mexico at 7-5, that might freak you out if you pay that close attention to college football and see that.
Yeah. So,
do you have
any news? Did
you hear about there's the Utah State news? Did you hear about that?
I did hear about the Utah State news.
So far, it looks
That's
like
bad.
It is. What happened initially, it happened like Friday afternoon.
Hey, did I lose you? So I hear a lot of silence, so I'm assuming that either Jeremy somehow got cut off or I'm losing things. Either way, this cannot be good. So I'm just going to go back here in the studio area and check things out. Ah, I am not connected. Please call in. Oh, wait. No, I'm connected. let's see here. How do I fix that?
I am back.
He's back.
Thanks for the message.
Sorry,
I was doing ES,
and so I had to go back in the studio to, like, see what happened, and I realized I was still recording.
It happens. How much did I even say about Utah State? Anything?
You said, like, a few words, and then you literally cut out completely.
Oh. Basically, yeah, I heard you saying sad news. Yeah, I guess what happened, because I was gone most of the weekend. Looks like everybody's doing better. There's four players and one female. Which, do you know if she's a student or was she just a friend of them? I don't recall.
I am not exactly sure.
But there are five people, four players, because our guy Parker is on, and I saw it. So we got some news out there about what was going on. Basically, it's all what it came down to. There's the guys who were driving thought there was a four-way stop. So, but they had a stop sign. So when they stopped, they kept going, and another car just T-boned them. Like I don't think it was a semi, but a large truck of some sort, if I recall from over the weekend. The guys involved were John Taylor, Attaway. I know I'm going to butcher names, I apologize. Attawell, Adoye, and then also Travis Seafelt and Edmund Famalio, all defensive linemen. Oh, it looks like it was Utah State softball player Sarah Vasquez also was in there. And as of right now, two have been released from the hospital, Taylor and Attaway. I believe there wasn't a ton of news when I first heard about this. They're in critical condition, a bunch of them, which is some were airlifted, which is pretty terrible news. And it looks like their conditions have been, besides the two being released, the conditions have been upgraded to stable. So hopefully that is okay for those guys. So it looks like they're still a pair in the hospital, but that's terrible news that had to happen, man. Just getting any type of car wreck, it's scary. Especially T-bone, or kind of out there in the middle of nowhere where they're at. That's why they had to be airlifted. They went to a hospital. I think one of the hospitals was in Ogden, and I know not everybody knows that area, but it's about, if I'm correct, a good 30 or 40 miles to that hospital. Because basically, anybody from the area, it's like you're going to, I don't need to describe it that detail, basically Tremont's on your way to back to Logan in that area, and back towards Ogden, backtracking towards Salt Lake City. And that from there, it's about 20 to 40 miles. I don't know exactly, but you're basically not really close to a hospital if something severe happens. That's why they had to have those airlifts come in for some of the people. So looks like they're improving. Hope all the best for everybody who comes back to full recovery for everything. For what they don't really say what the injuries were, cause I don't see those, probably privacy and those type of things. But here's what the tanker truck was holding. I found this, 52,000 pounds of milk. That's a huge, and they're in a SUV, which is a big car, but if you're getting hit by one of those things, ouch. And also,
that's a very dense
accident.
It's like, and, it's, yeah.
And then also, multiple people were not wearing their seatbelt also, which is not a good thing, too.
No. So, anyway.
Everybody seems to be recovering better, so let's move on to what the show is about tonight. We'll keep you guys updated on the web. Lobos, Football Bob! That's your
Football Bob!
So, as you can already tell, me and Chris are already somewhat high on the Lobos. I believe, I would say I'd go back and listen, but I'm not going to, but I think you and I were pretty close for them being a bowl team last year.
I think I predicted, I want to say I was predicting them to be between 4-8 and 6-6. But I've been high on New Mexico ever since Football Bob has taken over.
Yeah, they've been improving because I'm pretty sure you were scared out of your pants when they played Boise State last year.
Yeah.
Twice,
well,
actually.
And now with, and with spring camp where then Football Bob basically said that he wants to make the offense not just no huddle in that triple option, but he wants to be hurry up, no huddle. God, this offense is going to be terrifying. And what's funny is they're going to have an experienced quarterback probably get the starting nod, the one who we've been high on all year, last year, Lamar Jordan.
It hasn't been officially announced, but it has to be him. It has to be. They brought in a junior college guy. I got to pull up his name here, but
Austin Apodaca, right?
That sounds about right. He's a JUCO, and I think he played one year at somewhere in the Pac-12, I think. I'll look it up momentarily.
Yeah, I got it right up.
Okay.
Signed on to Washington State.
That's what it was, yeah.
So he was a Mike Leach sign-on, but he never played there. He transferred to community college, Mesa Community College, which I believe is in Phoenix.
Yeah.
2,500 yards.
That's pretty good.
But that is pretty good, which means that as good as Lamar Jordan was at throwing the ball last year, and I say good relatively because 53% in the New Mexico run-heavy offense is good, this guy will be Austin Apodaca. See, now I'm messing up on the words. will be your go-to throwing guy, probably.
Well, they got
especially if he's signed on to an air raid offense.
Well, they are. The Lobos brought in, if I recall, they brought, like, for signing day, I think they brought in 5 wide receivers, including multiple junior college guys. So they're wanting to throw the ball because as much as you and I liked Cole Gauci, how much of a pure runner he was moving the offense, he was amazing, but he couldn't throw the ball. I joked for 2 years, if he could pretend to throw, the offense could be so much better. And they're basically wasting Carlos Wiggins out there, which he's their kick returner, receiver. I don't get why he's not involved. Maybe this new offense will. Jet sweeps, have him be in motion to backfield as an option threat. They need
Can
him.
Can I say something?
Yeah.
You remember what we actually coined the New Mexico offense last year?
I don't recall.
As much as they were run heavy? The quinterback is Matt Kennerly.
Yeah.
5 quarterbacks. They used 5 quarterbacks to throw a pass last year.
I believe one was the linebacker.
Yeah, one was the linebacker, I think it was, or it was a defensive position. That can't happen this year if New Mexico wants to be successful. And with this new guy, I don't think it will happen.
Their team, like, I know not, because I ask people all the time when I was, like, you're on the shows we've been doing, we go, hey, what about New Mexico? Because I'm pretty sure nobody's seen them because they've been relegated to the Campus Insiders online and Root Sports and just regional Root Sports. They're not on CBS Sports Network or even ESPN very often. But their offense, I'll say it a million times until anybody will listen. Anybody says they're not boring, they're not boring offense. So
No, absolutely not.
Yeah, their offense, it's unique. It's different. It's not like Navy or Army. It basically comes down to something like Nevada. Stick in what Nevada does and also add in the heavy running attack of, like, Air Force. It's more Air Force than anything else, I would say, but Air Force is mostly more under center. They'll do a lot of pistol. So I'd compare it to Air Force, but a little – Air Force and Nevada would be my best description for those. But I guess if you're listening to this, you know that already. If they land on the quarterback – we're going to go offense heavy, but I think the other side of the ball is more important for them to be really good. Because if you look at, like, what the numbers from Bill Connolly over at Football Outsiders, those type of things, their offense is quite explosive. Like, I get – looking here, they get good garbage time run because they're trying to come back in games. And they were close in a handful of games. But if you look at just their standard downs, they're 85th percent in the country. Passing downs, it's less. It's about 63. But here's the thing with that. They can't throw the ball. So seeing it that high, it's kind of like, well, whatever. You kind of throw it away. And this team,
it was less about throwing the ball away and more about just heaving it 10 yards further than anybody could actually catch it.
Yeah, just the chucker.
Exactly. The sexy, sexy special.
There you go. That's exactly what it is. Like, they... On first down, they'll move the ball. It's just when they get into those second and – basically, when they're in a passing situation, only a couple things will happen. the teams would basically force you to throw, so they'll drop seven or eight guys, and then you'll run, say it's 3rd and 12, you'll get 8 yards on the ground. Or they'll just bring an all blitz, and that's when a lot of times you see those chucked balls, those interceptions, those wounded ducks flying through the air. So there, it's. I think the offensive line needs. We know they can run block because heck, look what they've done. But when you look at their offensive line, they're bringing back 3 of the 5 starters. They're bringing back 4 guys who started 10 career starts. They do lose Lamar Bratton, which is a big deal as all Mountain West. But with this experience on the line, with their running game coming back, yeah, they lose their top 2 receivers. But when Tyler Dunn, when your top guy has 16 catches, what are you really missing, right?
Right.
There's not much. Here's where they're killing everybody. I always get this guy's name wrong. Terrion Gibson, Jarrell Presley, top 2 running backs, combined for 1,900 yards, 20 touchdowns. Assuming Lamar Jordan's a starter, he had another 650. They're stacked. They are ready to go. It has to be Jordan. It can't be Gauchy. It can't be the new guy coming in, Austin Apodoca. It can't be him. Because if he was going to play, like he said, he went to play for Mike Leach. You're throwing 85% of the time at least, it seems like. So he might – I don't think he's going to be the starter. They
right,
have the offense.
Think about this. Sorry.
No, go ahead.
Mouthful of pepperoni. Gauchy is still an effective player, right?
Yes.
Even though he won't effectively be the starter anymore, use him in that Wildcat. He was an extremely effective Wildcat. Or when they stacked him up, like when they had Jordan at quarterback and then they slept Gauchy as a wide receiver and threw a triple or threw a triple option type play in there, I mean, that threw defenses for a loop as well. Gauchy, Jordan, even, like I said, and even Apodaca, even at 3 quarterbacks, you can still be extremely effective. But you're absolutely right. Jordan has to be that guy. And between Gibson, Presley, and Jordan, they're just going to just tear up any backfield.
And Gauchy, think of him like when Tim Tebow, when they won the national title, when it was Chris Leak as a quarterback. Gauchy averaged 8.5 yards a carry. That's insane. And then Jarrell Presley, he averaged 9.5 a carry, almost 13 after being hit. This running game, like I said, putting Gauchy, they put the running backs in the backfield, stick him into wide receiver occasionally. If this offense is done right, who has a better offense coming back? I know Boise has everybody coming back. They do need a quarterback. They do need a running back. Aztecs have Donald Pumphrey. Utah State, Chucky Keaton, Joe Hill, bunch of guys back. We got Rashard Higgins at the Colorado State, but could this offense be the best in the conference?
Oh, hands down. Hands down. There is no other offense. Maybe Boise State's, but even then, Boise State's offense is not like it's not like how New Mexico, and we saw that. The only way that Boise State was able to beat New Mexico last year was by out-offensing them.
Well,
and you have
and
to
the
think
injury.
That this is – yeah.
Presley went
team,
out in that second half. Yeah.
This is a team whose offense averaged, total offense, to 400 yards a game.
Ooh.
The problem is their defense average giving up 518 yards a game.
That's the problem I want to get to. They'll twofold real quick. They'll need some receivers to step up, and I think they will. I would if they're truly going to go faster and pass more, they need to pass first. If Jordan goes 60 to 65%, their offense will be great. He has to be above 60, but you're right. The defense is what's been holding them back.
Can I go? I'm going to point something out.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, New Mexico's worst game offensively was against San Diego State, where they lost 24-14, and they still racked up 263 yards.
Total or on the ground?
Total.
Okay.
152 was on the ground, but 111 was through the air.
Yeah, it's still below their average, but still, and look how close it was. That's interesting. Yeah, if they had a reasonably good game, they could have ran away with that one.
Yeah,
because that's
absolutely
half,
nobody would have been
half,
able to stop them.
So, assuming, well, I can't assume anything with the Lobos, but if they're able to get a receiver and Jordy can throw 60% or more, they're good. But defense is an issue. Dakota Cox tore his ACL late last year, may not be ready to start the season. So that's an issue right there. He's still recovering. He didn't do anything during spring ball. But they have to stop teams. They can't just let teams do what they want against them. And if their defense can be average, they could be in the thick of the things in the Mountain Division, or at least be close in games against a better competition.
Here's the thing. The linemen, okay, you have Dakota Cox returning.
Well,
but
depends
you are
on when, though.
Depends on when. But Ryan Langford, Kimmy Carson, both of those players played in 11 or 12 games last year. Donnie White played in 11 of the 12 games last year. Michael Arredondo played in 12 of the games last year. This is an experienced linebacking core. It's also an experienced defensive line as well. So you're not really losing much, per se. So it's not just a defense who gave up a lot last year, but now this year they're more experienced. They're getting stronger together. We could see actually a subpar defense for New Mexico, and that once again, a subpar defense for New Mexico would be great in terms of the win-loss column. If they get to average defense, holy hell, you better watch out.
Because look at what they did last year. I got their numbers. They gave up 6.8 yards per play and 519. They're worse than Mountain West by far. If they can be because look at Colorado State. Colorado State was in the thick for that New Year's Day bowl game before they lost late in the year to Air Force, I believe, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they lost late. And they were seventh in the conference and were less than 100. They're at 425 per game, so just under 100 yards better than New Mexico. And I would argue New Mexico's offense, I can pull up numbers, but their offense is right there with Colorado State for what can be done. So if they can do what the Rams did last year, give up under 430 yards per game, you're right. They could beat – look at their schedule. They could beat pretty much anybody almost, I would say. Or at least – I know I'm overhyping, but you're right. Defense, if they're better, just again, look at the Boise State game last year. That's kind of what they want to be, except maybe a few more stops. If that's every game for them, they're going to surprise almost every team on the schedule, in my opinion. They're at the tipping point. This has to be the year to get them to a bowl game and better.
Yeah, if they're not in a bowl game, Davey's going to be on the hot seat.
Because looking at who they play, here's what they have. Let's go to the schedule now. One other thing on the defense really quick. I'm hoping, like you said, they are experienced. They lose some guys. Their secondary is a small issue, but they had a lot of guys who played last year, so they'll replace a couple starters. But they have the depth to hopefully, because there's a lot of passing teams with Boise, CSU, what Nevada does. Aztecs might be back there. Fresno will pass. So that's a key concern
Nevada
there.
Nevada.
But looking at their schedule, they got Mississippi Valley State. They better win. Tulsa has their new head coach, who is Bill Blankenship, who is the OC at Baylor. That Tulsa hasn't been the same. So I think if we looked at the lines before, New Mexico was basically a pick on like a 2 or 3 point favorite from those lines that were released a couple weeks ago. They could easily beat Tulsa. I think they could beat Tulsa at home. Home field's not anything, but Tulsa hasn't been Tulsa in a long time, and it'll take a couple years to get that offense going. What was going on at Baylor? The Arizona State game, that will be exciting to watch. Because aren't the Sun Devils basically right there at the U.S. – well, air quotes, USC to win the South, which is not going to happen. But the Pac-12 South is
– Arizona State is dangerous, and they're out for blood. But guess what? Looking at last year's game, because they played Arizona State last year, didn't they?
I believe so. I think they've got them at Albuquerque, I believe. Let me get that real quick here.
Yeah. Well, last year was a blowout. It was 58-23, but New Mexico, I think, is bringing more of a heat this year. I still think they lose, but I think it's going to be even a bigger surprise than they were last year.
I agree. It's going to be a closer game because Arizona State's loaded with who they have coming back, and their OC Mike Norvell. He's going to be a head coach probably next year. He's done amazing things there. That I would love to see a win. I agree it's probably not going to happen, but they're going to put a scare. And it's on the Pac-12 Network, so hopefully if you have it, check out that game. It's Friday night. Watch the replay. Do something to catch part of it because that'll probably be an underrated game, assuming the offense, as we say, Lobos are good. Here's the next stretch. That will be interesting.
Let me ask you best-case scenario. So,
in that game?
Suppose, and we both know it's not going to happen, but suppose New Mexico wins.
Mm-hmm.
Are they going to be the front runner for the Mountain Division at that point? Is everybody going to be hyping them up as much as we are, or is it going to have a large negative effect on Arizona State?
More toward negative Arizona State. How the heck did you lose to this team that's been terrible and it's at home? It's going to be more of how did Arizona State lose and New Mexico wins the game. However, if they win the game, let's just say they are 3-0 at that point. If you look at the Mountain Division, like the other two contenders, well, almost everybody's a contender, but Utah State, Boise State are going to be the top two for sure. Utah State would have played Utah, Washington, and Southern Utah, and then Boise plays Washington, BYU, and then Idaho State. I don't know because out of those three, New Mexico's schedule is the weakest, but not by far. Everybody has an FCS team. Tulsa's the weak link, but Tulsa's not like you're playing a very bad team. They're not great, but they have some name value to them. They'll probably get.
Hey, you
want to
know an interesting record?
What's that?
And you want to know a quick interesting stat about Arizona State and New Mexico?
New Mexico owns the all-time win record, right?
No, actually. These two teams have been playing since 1932. Out of 30 games, well, 29 games, their record, Arizona State holds a lead 23-5-1. So there has been one tie.
When's the last win for the Lobos? Do you have that?
Yeah. I do.
Okay. Hold on. There already. Well, they were in the same conference for years, so that makes sense, too.
Yeah, they were. They were in the WAC for years. Mm-hmm. The last loss, oh, geez. The last loss for New Mexico, or the last loss for Arizona State, was November 28th, 1942. They absolutely owned New Mexico while they were in the WAC. I mean, we're talking Boise State style ownage. So a nice 18 game win streak to be broken.
Okay, let me ask you this, because I know we're high on this team. Would you think they'd be ranked if they somehow start
3-0? Not quite. Actually, they might.
Because Arizona State.
I don't think they'd be ranked in the the college football playoff doesn't matter anyway. But yeah. I think they would be like sitting at like 27th or 28th at the end of 3-0.
Okay, yeah. Because Arizona State, I'm looking at Phil still. Doesn't have them yet in his top 20. So this could be like a top 10 Arizona State team perhaps, but. I don't think they'll win, but it'll be a close game. I should look up the line. Do you have those Golden Nugget lines ready or not?
No, but I can look it up.
Well, we'll both pull them up a second. We'll come back to this game because I want to see what that is. But the next stretch, they start conference play. They travel to the next stretch of games will probably determine bowl eligibility because this stretch is easier, I would say, compared to after their open date. They go to Wyoming, host New Mexico State, go to Nevada, host Hawaii, and then go to San Jose State. Those five games are going to determine bowl eligibility and where they stand within the Mountain Division. I think at this point, New Mexico should be a clear favorite over their rival, the Aggies, in New Mexico State. Are we at a safe place to say that?
New Mexico should be favored in this game?
By New Mexico State and by quite a bit, and should win?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Okay. So, I don't know what to make, because all these teams are essentially pick-ems. You got Wyoming, who has Brian Hill coming back. They have Sean Wick. They're still working on a quarterback. A lot of people are high on Wyoming to go to the bowl game for the bowling punts.
By the way, the Arizona State line is not out yet for that game.
Ah, interesting. That kind of stinks. I thought it would be. Well, that's... Oh, well. We'll come back to that later. I'm betting 2 touchdowns easily.
Oh, yeah.
So, back to this game. Like, these games are like all pick'em games, almost. Not pick'em, but it's like you can't... Outside New Mexico State, you can't stay for sure. Like I said, what Wyoming has, it's on the road. Playing at War Memorial is pretty tough. I would say out of this stretch, the only game I'd say they're going to lose for sure probably be at Nevada. Agree with that, or
yeah,
am I well?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm looking at it. I could see, okay. Call me crazy.
I'm ready.
I could see the win at Nevada. But I could see, and this is me sort of being high on Hawaii, but at the same time, not really knowing how Hawaii is going to, like, turn out. I could see a loss at Hawaii. Or not at Hawaii, but at home to Hawaii.
Yeah.
Just as a complete letdown game. A game they should not lose, but yet will do.
We just don't know about Max Whitty because everybody has him as, like, the best QB in the conference. And at this point,
hey,
we clearly know, but...
Spoiler alert, I ranked him as my best quarterback in the conference so far.
Okay, I had to go through that list and post it at some point. I forget who I put. I didn't put him that high, but we can get that list later, but I don't know who the best quarterback is. It could be Chucky Keaton because he's most experienced. It could be Max Whitty because he came from USC. Why not Nate Romine of Air Force, who has, 10 starts under his belt? I don't know.
Yeah.
It's interesting. And then... Like I said, Wyoming, that's probably a pick'em. It's 8 days after Arizona State, so depending on how that game turns out, that could be an issue. As for talent-wise, this will be a lot of running in this game, I'm assuming, with Brian Hill, Sean Wick going up against Jarrell Presley, Lamar Jordan. Everybody
oh, God, a Craig Bowl offense versus a...
Bob Davey?
Oh, my goodness. That might be the game of the year. That might be the game of the year just for pure entertainment.
Because we saw Brian Hill did that one game where, who was it against where he had the all-time all-purpose record? He had, 368 yards or something?
Yeah.
I forget what it was, but if he's anything close, Sean Wick. That must be a lot of points. That's probably a pick-up. We got at San Jose State. I don't know what Rod Carriger's doing there, really. He's bringing in better talent. I'm going to say that's a win because all I need to be reminded is look at the box, any box score, and check out the rushing defense for San Jose State.
Absolutely. Yeah. So we said that puts them at 1, 2, 3,
maybe
4.
They
could have 6 wins by October 24th.
It's possible.
Makes sense. That totally makes sense, though, because you have Utah State, Boise State, Colorado State, Air Force at the end, and that's a horrible stretch, and I think they're just going to go 0-4 by that point.
Yeah, that'll be tough. So I think they might be able to sneak out versus Air Force, but
I think they'd be able to sneak out more versus Colorado State than Air Force.
I'd say those two are the most likely, just because they're not as talented as Utah State or Boise State. However, I want to circle that Boise State game, man. I want to watch that one again. If it's anything like last year, whew, that will be exciting. But, yeah, if we're looking at this logically, which we're probably not really, maybe a little over the edge, but the only for sure – here's the thing, though. The only for sure wins I see in their schedule, and we should be very careful with that, but Mississippi Valley State and New Mexico State are probably the only two wins that I'll be comfortable saying they'll get them regardless.
Yeah.
I'm very confident San Jose State, that puts them at 3. And Hawaii, that puts them at 4. I'd go toss up for Tulsa and Nevada and Wyoming. Well, probably more Tulsa, Wyoming. And Nevada, I'd give the edge to Wolfpack. So they can do it. They could be at 7 wins. So I could honestly, no, this is probably over the top. They could be sitting with 1 loss at this point. Because it's not out of the question. I guarantee it's not going to happen. You can laugh at me who's listening to this. But the only game I'd say they're not going to win no matter what is Arizona State. And even then, they'll probably put a scare into them for at least a half.
I'm going to say they're not going to beat Arizona State. They're not going to beat Utah State. And they're not going to beat Boise State. I think that's three guaranteed no wins. And I think the three guaranteed wins are Missouri Valley, New Mexico State. I'm going to go ahead and put down at San Jose State here.
Okay. That makes it. That's the thing where there's got a lot of these 50-50 games, essentially, or close to it, where almost pick 'em games. It could be done.
Right.
They haven't done it before, but I think they finally got rid of all the guys from Mike Loxley there to realize this team is getting close to what they have the potential to be. And
absolutely.
I'm going to say they're going to a bowl game this year. I know I'm probably out there a little bit, but I want them to go to a bowl game because I want them to play somebody. The bowl lineup isn't the best, but I want them to put a scare into somebody and get to at least 6 wins, hopefully 8 wins, and not play at their. Well, I don't know. Would they be better off playing at their home bowl game or going off to some other bowl game, the Poinsettia Bowl, the Idaho Bowl, or something?
I don't think it would matter either way. I think just keeping them at home would just let them. I think not only would you get a good opponent, but you would get the home crowd.
You would. I'm gonna say they're going bowling this year. I can change when we do our big preview show mid August, but I'm gonna put them in a bowl game.
I'm right there with you.
Same thing, 6 or 7 wins.
I'm right there with you. Bowl game.
Are you more? Would you make it? Because I might change in August once we know a little bit, but I don't think I would.
I'm not changing.
Not changing? What would you
nope.
think? Okay. All right. We're going to get to the kind of the crazy area of the show now, if it's not already. If you're going to pick one of those teams, like out of these teams, Arizona State, Utah State, or Boise State, which one would you go like? What would be the pecking order for the best chance of win? To win for New Mexico over them.
Oh, I'm going to get a lot of hate here. I'm going to get so much hate. I'm going to go Utah State, Arizona State, Boise State.
So easiest to hardest?
Easiest to hardest.
Okay.
And simply because with Boise State, A, you're playing on the blue, and B, it's like They know the scare from last year. They're not going to repeat the scare.
Don't forget last year, 2 years ago, weren't they up like 24-0 and New Mexico came back and nearly won as well? Something like that a couple years ago. They were shut out.
That too, yeah.
There's that. I would say I'd give Boise the most difficult. Like I said, they're at home. Boise should, as I put strongly emphasize, should realize what they're up against over the past 2 years of being scared to death by New Mexico. Yeah. I would probably go – I know home field is nothing important at New Mexico at this time. Sorry to say, Lobo fans, but it's not. I want to say – I really want to say Arizona State ahead of Utah State as the most easiest, but I think Arizona – let me see who Arizona State plays, but I'm going to say this. Boise will be the most difficult for those reasons. No, I'll go Arizona State. I'll go Arizona State because – I'm pretty confident Utah State's defense is better than Arizona State's defense. And
I think we're all confident on that.
And if I'm going to pick an upset, I could probably see Arizona State because they're coming into the game. Let me see who they're playing really quick. But they blew them out last year at Albuquerque. This is a Friday night game, which not that it matters too much. But Arizona State plays Texas A&M Week 1 and Cal Poly Week 2. So if that means anything, that's who they're playing the first 2 weeks. So I guess we'll know a ton after they play Texas A&M because they should be a reasonably good team. But
yeah. I'm not sure Texas A&M is going to be that good this year.
Well, that's a good test, better than playing Cal Poly and Eastern Washington or, you know what I mean, somebody from the Sun Belt.
Since Eastern Washington lost Vernon Adams.
Yeah.
To Oregon?
That's a probably a bad example because they are usually pretty good. But you get my point. They're not playing a bottom of the MAC school. They're not playing at two FCS teams. People may argue New Mexico fits in that category, but it's just a solid opponent that we'll know more about than them playing, even playing Indiana or something. Week two. What would you put as their best scenario season, like best chance for them to basically best season, like overachieving even your expectations? Is it 9-3? Would you dare say 9-3?
No.
No? Okay.
No, I'd say best case scenario, 8-4.
8-4. I'm probably there with...
Best case scenario, they're still going to lose to Arizona State, Boise State, Utah State, and then either of the Colorado or Air Force.
Or Nevada, too.
But I could see them beating all those teams up to November 7th.
Okay, possible undefeated at that point? 8-0?
8-0, but they don't have the power to.
They don't.
And they're going to be 7. No. Best case scenario, they'll be 7-1. They're not going to be 8-0.
I would say best, like, overall, I think at that point they'll lose two games. Probably Arizona State and New Mexico, they're bowl eligible. And then my best case, I can't go much more than 7-5.
Yeah.
Would still be amazing, because look what they did last year. There were multiple games where they were just within, 10 points or less.
Yeah, it was kind of like the
Hawaii
UNLV a few seasons ago. Yeah, even Hawaii. Hawaii is a better example of that.
But they also, one thing that's good for them, they missed Fresno and San Diego State in the West. So that kind of helps them out with scheduling-wise. But last year, lost Air Force by 4, lost to Fresno by only 11, UTEP by a touchdown. Boise was 11, but really closer. Utah State by only a touchdown. So they were the only games that got blown out in really were Colorado State by 38 in that Arizona State game by 25 points. And even San Diego State, like you said early on, only a 10-point loss. So I think it all comes down to if Dakota Cox can come back within, I don't know the timeline, but they're looking maybe early in the season. He might miss a couple games. I don't know exactly, but he's not going to be full strength right away. It's their defense. I believe we're confident saying their offense will be fine. Them going hurry up, no huddle will be, drive any D coordinator crazy. If they can actually pass and do it, they're going to be the best offense in the Mountain West, probably. Top three at worst, with a passing game of at least 60%. It's just the defense has to do something and give up 20 points a game and they'll be fine.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because what did they give up last, like 30 a game or something? They gave up, before I start spouting off, I should say if that's reasonably good. But like I said, if they're average, holy crap, on defense, they're going to be good.
Oh, I could tell you the statistics real quick. Hold on. I'm looking it up.
I got it right. 36 points
per game. Defense gave up 36 points per game last week.
Cut that down by 2 touchdowns,
defense
you win.
Defense gave up 36 points per game. So you cut that down to 25. You just cut 10 points. I think that's huge.
That's 2 wins or something. That's bowl eligibility from last year.
Yeah, exactly.
Cool. So we're going to wrap this up here. Do you think the Mountain Division that every team can be bowl eligible? There's a few people seeing like Ralph.
In the Mountain?
Ralph Russo, I think from AP, said all 6 teams could be in there. If you look at the early stuff from ESPN or CBS, they have at least 5. Usually New Mexico is on the outside looking in. But that division, it's going to be quite difficult.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, it's going to be tough, but I think they're extremely improved.
Do you have anything else to add? Because I think we're pretty much running out of steam here for it to talk about the Lobo football. Anything else you want to add about anything or anything?
No. I mean, really, there's nothing else much to talk about. I would expect more news, and we could always talk about recruiting, but at this point, it's best to stay on topic, especially with these football previews, since they take up the majority of our stuff.
True. Just a quick on that note, we are doing a much better job on that. There's what Boise's had, 3 on Friday, and they've gotten like 6 in the past week. Utah State's got a couple guys. Nevada basketball's tearing it up as well. They've got quite a few with Eric Musselman. But yeah, we're previews where we're at. There's the only news we wanted to mention, obviously, the Utah State stuff. Hopefully everybody improves there in their health and there's injuries and from the accidents and they're not terribly serious at all, that they can recover to play football and everything else, which seems like they're going that way. But next week, I remember our discussion earlier. You're going to be here next week, correct, for another show?
No.
You're not. Okay.
No.
I've reached out to our good
friend. I'm flying somewhere in the Mountain West.
Within the conference?
I am flying within the conference, yes.
Will there be a photo of the football stadium, possibly?
Maybe. Maybe not.
Maybe. Or you don't want to give away your location.
I don't want to give up my location away.
Afterwards. How about you take a photo, then you bring it afterwards? Is that a good idea? Is that fair?
Possibly. Possibly.
Okay. All right. Can we announce your other announcement that you kind of mentioned a couple weeks ago, or not yet?
No, I'm not sure I really want that out there.
Okay.
Mainly because I don't want, once again, I don't want members. I don't want members of a fan of a certain team. I don't want fan members of a certain team coming after me because of you know.
Okay, I'm not going to say anything further because I'll probably give it away and I don't want you to be mad at me.
Yeah, you probably would. No, go ahead and I'll like berate you after. Go ahead.
No, I'm just saying you're moving from Las Vegas. We know that, correct?
We are, yeah. I think I may have hinted it from before then.
You did.
But yes, I am leaving Las Vegas.
Yeah, and what I think you said before is that it's going to be to another – in the vicinity of another Mountain West Conference school, correct?
Yes, it will be in another Mountain West city.
Okay. I think that's what you said last time.
So if I happen to go to Mountain West games over there, people will be able to seek me out and, you know, say, hey, well, it's that idiot over there.
I thought he liked Boise State. What happened? Oh, sorry. So I guess we can roll out Boise now. Sorry about that.
I guess we can roll out Boise. I think here's the thing. If I knew I was going to Boise, I would happily announce that.
Correct. Yes. Okay. So you got
because
10 to 12.
Hell, I'd be hanging out. I'd be hanging out with the Obnug guys up there like I used to.
Of course. Okay. So we'll keep in touch. So I've reached out to our good friend Matt Bain, who's kind of taking a break since he's with the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. He might be joining us next week. Because San Diego State is our next team. Could be him. Could be, we got Irwin on our side. I may give him a shout out. We got David Frecker of San Diego Sports Domination. Frecker. I thought it's FR. Oh, it is, but it's still, okay. I should stop saying these.
Frecker. Frecker.
Okay. I don't know why I stumbled that. Because we've had him on before. So we'll have an Aztec guy on the show to talk about that. One of those couple of guys we have. So we'll reach out to them. It just won't be me. And we'll get back with you once you're done with your trip. And that's all we got tonight. So check out our website, mwcconnection.com. We're doing two announcements really quick. We're finally posting our quarterback rankings, which will probably be all over the board. It will be amazing to laugh at and read and see how wrong or right we are next winter, I guess I should say. And then our top 50 countdown will be starting sometime next week.
Excellent.
And is it safe to say, I've looked at some of them, or most of them. I still need to fill out a handful of mine. I don't think there's going to be a quarterback in the top 10.
I haven't filled out mine yet. I don't think there's going to be a quarterback in my top 10, but, you know, we'll see.
And for those who are wondering, because I do like Chucky Keaton, he's probably about 30 to 40 for me. So when you tear your knee twice, you can't be too reliable to me at this point, right?
Something like that.
So, all right, we're wrapping up here. Time's running low, but like I said, mwcconnection.com. We have all of our preview podcasts in one playlist over at SoundCloud. We got Stitcher, of course, Blog Talk Radio, all sorts of places. Keep looking for our old-time Mountain West team that Matt Kennelly's running through up from us on the site. So Keep listening to the podcast, and we'll talk to you guys next time.